Let's all bow. Gracious Almighty Father Yahweh, first and foremost, how great and wonderful you are. Hallowed be your name. We ask that your kingdom come, your will be done. We're thankful, Father, that you show your love and your mercy through your son, Yahshua. As we gather here today, instruct and guide us. Help us to learn through your word and grow in that wisdom and knowledge. That in the decisions of life that we make, that we can let your spirit guide us through the scriptures. And that we dedicate our lives in service to you is not even an equal for what your son Yahshua has done for us. But Father Yahweh, we lift up songs of praise on your Sabbath day. We praise your name and worship you and thank you for what you've allowed us to see and understand and know, and continue to guide us in that as we walk and try to find the path of your word. Your will be done. In your son Yahshua's name we pray. Hallelujah. Well, as we start off, I want to appeal, first of all, for those of you that are out there in cyberspace. Yes, each and every one that's on the internet. And in the future, that'll listen by CD or watch by DVD. Thank you for bringing us into your homes. And I want to extend an invitation to you that there's nothing like being right here live. When you take people of the world and they go to a ball game, when they go to a concert, they'll tell you, boy, you should have been there. It was great. It was wonderful. Well, that's what I extend to you today, to come together, to worship Yahweh, to obey His word, to gather together for the Sabbath, the holy days, Passover memorial, and all the other days that He has commanded. It's wonderful to be with fellow brethren and fellowship with them. So I invite you to plan now for Pentecost coming up, or this fall for the Feast of Tabernacles, or at least plan for next year, Passover Memorial and Pentecost. Come be with us. We give you the invitation. We look forward to seeing you. You won't regret it. You'll be glad you did. So, now Shabbat Shalom to everyone here that's local. And as we start off, I guess the picture intrigues you a little bit that's behind there. If you'll think about that picture for a little bit. As we start off, I want to go to 1 Samuel 6, verse 12. It says, "And the kine took the straight way to the way of Beth Shemesh, and went along the highway, lowing as they went, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. And the masters of the Philistines went after them unto the border of Beth Shemesh." This scripture, I'm just borrowing and putting it here for the idea and the concept we're going to start to focus on as far as highway. If you'll go back up and back up in 1 Samuel 6 just a little ways and understand the story, you'll read the story about where the Philistines had conquered or had won a battle against the children of Israel, and they had took the Ark of the Covenant. And as long as they had the Ark of the Covenant, it caused them grief and it afflicted them. And they even come to the question and says, why do we have this thing? Send it back to the children of Israel, because it's causing us problems. So they built a cart. They put it on the cart. And then they said with their kine, or took to kine, which possibly in the translation is cow, calf, ox. And they sent it back by the highway. But the word we're focusing on is highway, is a way that they sent the Ark of the Covenant back to the children of Israel. Also, looking at Isaiah 40, verse 3, "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of Yahweh, make straight in the desert a highway for your Elohim." This is Isaiah prophesying of John the Baptist, but it says here to make straight. And we know what straight is, not crooked, but straight. In the desert, a highway. Here again is the word highway. Highway is a main thoroughfare we can associate with today to get from point A to point B, from place to place. It's a lot of times highway, they're speaking of a large road that can handle a lot of traffic. But then you have also road, road is similar to a highway, but maybe not takes as much traffic as a highway would. But it could also be a major thoroughfare as well that quite a bit of traffic goes through. And then also in our look upon today is a path. A path could be similar to a highway, but maybe even much smaller. It might even be, it may be paved, it might even be just gravel or just a dirt path. Sometimes it's a shortcut to get from place to place. Sometimes it's a path that's less traveled. Sometimes it leads to grandma's house, I suppose. But what does Scripture say about path? So let's look at Psalm 27:11. As the psalmist says, "Teach me thy way, O Yahweh, and lead me in a plain path because of my enemies." So here the psalmist is asked of Yahweh to teach him his way. And this is what we do day by day, as we have dedicated to try to serve him, to follow in that plain path. Proverbs 4:26-27 says, "Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." And I guess here, essentially, you could say a straight path as well, focused on Yahweh and service to him. But we're to ponder that, the path of our feet, how we go, what we do, the way we serve, the way we understand and obey Yahweh's word. So now, Matthew 7:13, we have, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat." So here we have straight gate. A gate is usually a passageway. We're looking basically here just at English understanding. It's a passageway. It's an opening. It's an entrance. Some paths have gates to them. Most roads and highways usually don't. However, we have some brethren that live in Washington State. They probably know about Interstate 90 quite a few years back. Lisa, my wife, and I, we were traveling, and I look at her and I said, "Look at that. There's these huge gates on both sides of the expressway. It looks like they can cross the expressway and cut it off." Well, then looking ahead of that, I seen this great, huge mountain. This was in the middle of the summer with snow-capped in the middle of the summer. And I'm like, "Oh, I know why they have those gates there. It's to close it off in the wintertime when they have trouble." So there are some highways, very few, that have gates. But our focus here is in what Matthew 7:13 said. The straight gate. There's two paths. The straight gate and the wide and broad way. There's two different ways, two different directions. And we have these choices in our lives. Sometimes it's like a fork in the road. So what do we do when we have a fork in the road? What happens sometimes when you have a fork in the road? Do we run over it, blow a tire? Cause a car to wreck? Possibly. This is not the fork that we're speaking of here. We're looking at our life and the decisions that are made in our life. What happens when you run into a fork in the road, a decision to be made? Different directions, usually leading away from each other. Now, for simplistic sakes, it's a choice in life we make, and I'm going to use George as an example for simplicity to get an idea across to you, since it's my home for now. Atlanta, Georgia is what we're going to take a look at. As you zoom in on Atlanta, you have various interstates that enter into Atlanta. These are a part that come to, but the point being here is a fork in the road, a separation, going in two different directions. If you decide to go off as you're facing, Interstate 85 is to the right, and you decide it was the wrong highway you went, you can turn around and go back the way you came and take the fork the other way. Or you can go up, and there's a perimeter that goes around Atlanta, and you cut across. you'll add approximately 45 minutes to an hour doing this of time you'll have lost. The thing about it is, in the path of life, we can't do this. Sometimes the path, when we come to that fork in the road, our choice that we make, once we make that choice, especially like in baptism, it's not a, wait a minute, a redo. Wait a minute, let's turn around. Let's do a U-turn. This is a commitment you make. It's a commitment for life. Another one of these forks is here. The same here is if you cut across, if you miss the fork and cut across, you're adding about an hour and a half to your time. So as though in the highways it's inconvenience, but to keep in mind in decisions in life that you, especially committing yourself to serving Yahweh, there's no turning back. It's to look forward. Now, just for some general more information, if you continue on this highway, you'll end up in South Carolina. If you continue on the other highway there, it's East Tennessee, North Carolina. And this highway here would be Central Tennessee. And this is the way we journey to come to be with the brethren here at Holt Summit, Missouri. And just FYI, for your information, there's Winder, Georgia. That's our home for now. So, in life, we come across forks in the road. That's choices, decisions, especially major decisions. And one of those major decisions is baptism and serving the Heavenly Father. So what we're going to do is focus more on, you've got plenty of decisions that you make in life about many different things, but some of the important decisions to make is like baptism, committing yourself to serving Yahweh. And from the very beginning, man faced the decision, and they chose a path, Adam and Eve, partaking of the forbidden fruit, partaking of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. They chose the wrong path. They disobeyed Yahweh. Genesis 3:22 says, "And Yahweh Elohim said, Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. And now, lest he put forth his hand, and take also of the tree of life, and eat, and live forever." So there was good and evil, a choice. Adam and Eve, through being beguiled by Satan, the adversary, they chose that wrong path. Also, Yahweh told the children of Israel, in choosing, choose him, Deuteronomy 30:20, that thou mayest love Yahweh the Elohim, and thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him. For he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which Yahweh sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give them. The path, the choice, to love Yahweh and obey his word, like in Deuteronomy 11:26-28. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. Here's a major choice that was presented to the children of Israel. A blessing, if you obey the commandments of Yahweh your Elohim, which I command you this day. Verse 28, and a curse, if you will not obey the commandments of Yahweh your Elohim, but turn aside out of the way, which I command you this day, to go after other mighty ones, which ye have not known. So, each of us have started down that path being here, and already seven have made a commitment in taking the right fork in the road with baptism already. We've got one yet to come. You've made the choice to choose the right path in serving Yahweh our Heavenly Father. To serve Him by how? By His commandments, His statutes, His judgments, by keeping the Sabbath, the holy days, becoming baptized and dedicating your life to Him. What did Yahweh say to the children of Israel? Deuteronomy 30:15. See, I have set before you this day life and good and death and evil. The choice the children of Israel had before them when they were walking and Yahweh was guiding them as they were learning. This also applies to us today. We have a choice to choose life and good in death and evil. To start down the right path, we have to depend on Yahweh's word to show us. In Psalms 119, verse 105, it says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." So Yahweh's word guides us. Now for the newly baptized and all of us, the scriptures is where we to follow in Yahweh to learn his word and to grow. As it says here, it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Also in Proverbs 5, verse 6, it says, "Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them." To better understand this, we'll have to back up because it says her ways are movable. So let's read the first five verses along with this. Proverbs 5, verses 1 through 6 says, "My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bound thine ear unto my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, wood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on the grave. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them." In essence, in summary, is the world changes. Yahweh says, "I change not." The world, you see what's going on in the world today. So we have to ponder the path of life, that we stay on that narrow path through the scriptures, through the guidance of Yahweh. Proverbs 4:26, it says, "Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established by pondering the path of thy feet." We have to count the cost in doing this before baptism, making baptism, and everything we do in serving Yahweh. We have to count the cost. It's something that we shouldn't just free-handedly do or on a whim. You need to know the cost. Luke 14:28. "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth down not first, and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it?" Do we have sufficient to finish the race, the walk, the service to Yahweh to the end of life? Yahweh warns about choosing the wrong path. We can find that in Proverbs 1:15. "My son, walk not thou in the path with them. Refrain thy foot from their path." We are to refrain from the wicked path. Also, Proverbs 4:14. "Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men." In choosing the path to obey Yahweh and to serve him points to the promise of the future through Yahshua. Proverbs 4:18, "But in the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more into the perfect day." You read that, it says, "But the path of the just," as we follow and try to our best to keep the word, we still have to rely on the salvation of Yahshua. But it says it is the shining light that shineth more and more into a perfect day. Following Yahshua, trying to follow in his footsteps, it gives us a promise of hope. The narrow path pointing to our future promise in Yahshua. Proverbs 16:17, "The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserves his soul." And that is to what? Stay away from evil and to keep his way and guidance through the scriptures and serving Yahweh. We need guidance and understanding from Yahweh. We can ask for help with understanding and choosing the right path. Psalm 16:11, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." We can ask for Yahweh to show us that path and through reading the scriptures. Psalm 119:35, "Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight," as well here, to follow in that path. Proverbs 2:9, "Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path, to understand every good path to follow in it. Now, briefly, who made a choice of that path was Ruth. She made a choice to follow Naomi back to Naomi's homeland and to believe and to worship the way in the path of her mother-in-law. What did Ruth tell her mother-in-law when her mother-in-law told her, said, go back to your kinfolk, go back to your kindred? Ruth 1:16 through 17 says, and Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy Elohim my Elohim. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. Yahweh do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. Ruth made a choice. And to understand a little more importance about that choice, Ruth is of the tribe of Moabite. She was a Moabite, which was from Lot. And Lot separated from Abraham and went his way. And Abraham went his way. And they were at odds with Israel. But Ruth, with her mother-in-law, chose to go with her mother-in-law back into the land of Abraham, to go back to the descendants of Abraham. And therefore, the importance of the history of this is, she was an ancestor to King David. She was actually David's great-grandmother. So Ruth, a Moabite, descended from Lot. She took the path to follow to Naomi, back to the people of Abraham. We all have had an opportunity to take the path in service to Yahweh, like I said, especially all of us here that have made that choice. There will be other forks in the road, small and great, major decisions, but one of our greatest decisions is when we seen and decided that what we understood about Yahweh, and some of those are steps in the road. And right quick, I'm going to tell you a little bit about my path. I've spoke a little bit, but to be trying a brief summary, my path to where I am today and trying to serve Yahweh with the fullness of my heart, as I was raised in the Methodist, I've told you that before, and I grew up in my teenage years, and I know this is for the glory of Yahweh, what I'm fixing to tell you. I've mentioned it to a few people, but I proclaim it now before everybody to glorify Yahweh, because I and me am nothing. But when I was 15 years old, or actually let's back up to when I was about 10 years old, and the things we used to do, we didn't have internet, we didn't have but three television channels, and plus the summertime, Mom wouldn't let us stay inside. We had to go outside. So we had to be creative with what we did. And one of them was climbing trees. And one day I was climbing a tree, and I guess when I fell out of that tree, I was about somewhere between 20 and 30 feet in the air. And I fell head first. I was falling head first to the ground. And I guess it's kind of amusing now. My mom was on the telephone. There was only one phone in the house, and it was in the hallway, and she had a long extension cord so she could walk all over the house to talk. And she was standing at the back door, and she seen me fall. And the lady was on the line, didn't know what happened because she just released the phone. Of course, when she did, it was like a rubber band. It slung the phone, the receiver, back into the hallway, and she come running outside. But what happened was she seen me fall. But as I fell, like laying down on the bed, not jumping on the bed, but laying on the bed, or if I were to kneel down and lay down on the floor, I landed on the ground on my back, just that soft. What had happened is I fell out of that tree. They're kind of, to kids, they were a curse. It's kind of a tree bush called a privet. And that's where Mom got her switches when we were in trouble. But this privet this time was a blessing to me, because what happened is I fell out of the tree, and as my legs hung in that privet caught me, and it bent and laid me down just as easy. So I attribute that to Yahweh protecting my life. That was one I mentioned before. But I guess the most dramatic in the path of my life when I was 15, and I was in an automobile accident. And why it so stands out, so that was roughly 42 years ago today. Well, not today, but this year. And I can remember it as if it happened yesterday. My cousin, it was driving. He doesn't remember anything. My brother remembers limited, but I remember it all. But what happened is it was his birthday, or it had been his birthday, and he received a car for his birthday. And I'll remember this. It's etched in my memory one reason forever, because this happened on my mother's birthday. So I remembered her birthday from that day forward forever. And but the four of us, me and my brother and my cousin and a good friend of ours, my cousin drove. I was in the, we called it the shotgun back then, the passenger seat up front. And then our friend, he was in the back along with my brother. And we were riding around. My cousin pulled over and said, "I want to show you where I almost wrecked last night. I almost run off in the creek." And we get out. We look at it, and as we're walking back to the car, this friend of ours ran in front of me and got in the front seat. It made me sit in the back seat. And so then, within 15 minutes of that, when it took off, he decided to start traveling at a high rate of speed, lost control. We turned the car over. That boy lost his life from where he was sitting. And he just had roughly 10 to 15 minutes prior to that had swapped places with me. And my cousin just about didn't pull it out. My brother had a concussion. I wear the memories of that today. They have faded great, but on the side of my neck I wear two scars where the doctor told me when he checked me out in the hospital, said, "Son, has these cuts been any deeper? You would have never made it to the hospital." So I have a reminder. Yahweh saved my life. And now the most astounding thing about it, the boy that lost his life, his name was Terry. There was two Terrys in that car that day, but they were swapped, and it saved my life. So I praise Yahweh. This is Yahweh's glory, I tell you, but this is a part of the fork of my life. So from there, shortly, not long after that, my mom learned about the Sabbath. I tried to prove her wrong. I mentioned that to you. And I learned that I couldn't prove her wrong. And then, I guess this was the tug of war that was pulling me on the more correct path. But then, through the little organization, they kept the Sabbath and basic clean food laws. And through that is where I met my wife, Lisa. And that's what helped start pulling me towards focusing more on my fork in the road to commit my life to serving Yahweh. So I give Yahweh the praise and glory for that, for saving my life and watching over that, and for allowing me this chance. But also, another character, or I shouldn't say character, another one of the individuals in the Bible, Paul, he had a major fork in the road, on the road to Damascus, when Yahshua shined the light upon him. But I wanted to look at his choice, and making that choice, what he experienced for his choice in serving Yahweh. In 2 Corinthians 11, 24 through 33, "Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes." So he's been striped, whipped. "Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the assemblies, who is weak, and I am not weak, who is offended, and I burn not. If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. The Elohim and Father of our Master Yahshua Messiah, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not." So about all this that Paul experienced and suffered, what did he say? Had two other verses. In Damascus, the governor under Aretas, the king, kept the city of Damascenes with the garrison, desirous of apprehend me. And through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. So he was saved by being let down in a basket through the window. So, but what did he say about all these afflictions is what I was trying to pull up here. 2 Corinthians 12:10. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for my Messiah's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. We have our promise to look forward to that has been promised us. Can we be this strong and devoted as Paul was? We need to try to be. We're told in Matthew 22, for many are called. And before we finish that, just for another FYI, this is Atlanta traffic. And this is on a good day, rush hour, so you'll know kind of what the deal is. Lisa and I definitely try to steer away from Atlanta. But for many are called, but few are chosen. So we need to choose the right fork and work diligently to be counted worthy of the future promise. In Joshua 24:15, we read, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve Yahweh, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the mighty ones which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the mighty ones of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve Yahweh." This is what comes down from Joshua. So back in Deuteronomy 30:19, says, "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that..." Now he's talking to the children of Israel, but we can look at it also spiritually, talking to us as well. "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. By keeping Yahweh's commandments, his Sabbaths, his holy days, all that's in the scriptures." And by the way, you know, I think about this because I've had to study with law, but you go to the University of Georgia and the law library is a 3 or 4 story library that is completely full of law books. And we have one book. This is one book of the law, one book of directions how to live, one book to what to do if we make a mistake. It's all in all in one. That's our book that we go by. So we follow the scriptures, study them diligently, read and learn. By keeping Yahweh's commandments, Sabbath and holy days, as we're now doing, we have made a choice. And those 7, soon to be 8, have made that choice in serving Yahweh by committing their lives to Him through baptism. That we made a choice, that and we will continue to make choices, and we will continue to grow. And I want to encourage these that have been baptized that the adversary will test you now, and we'll pray for you that Yahweh keep you from those hours of temptations and watch over and protect you. Because you, if anything else, upon baptism, you have made one great enemy. The adversary does not like that. But also, in memory to that, as we've seen over the last few days, there's rejoicing in heaven for one that comes to Him. So we make the choices. We continue to face these choices with our faith. So can we stand strong like Joshua did? As strong as Paul did? Or even to the death like Stephen did? We need the guidance and the Spirit of Yahweh to be with us and guide us. Or as also not only Stephen, but the other apostles, the disciples, the ones that the lives were laid on the line for the way they believe. All I promise and hope, it goes back to Matthew 7:14. It says, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. And those that who find it, we're promised. Reading in chapters 21 and 22 of Revelation. Starting with, we're going to read just a few chapters of it. I mean, a few verses of it. In Revelation 21, verses 5 through 7. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his Elohim, and he shall be my son. And also in Revelation 22:12-14, says, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according to his as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. You know, it's kind of interesting how we keep reading in here about the commandments. I don't see where the commandments were done away, because the promises are made even here in Revelation for they that do his commandments. So, a reflection back for just a moment. With my path, my mother was a very nervous person, but she had a gift, and she was afraid to use it. She could play the piano by ear, and she could sing. And she, the day the accident happened, when the police officers come to the home, it was a new home my uncle was building, and told them that there had been an accident. She didn't know Yahweh's name then. She was learning about the Sabbath, but she said, Heavenly Father, if my children could only be okay, I will sing for your glory. And she, that's a fork in the road she made. At that point, she made that decision to glorify the Heavenly Father. Well, soon after that, she learned the name. And she kept it to her death. And she, as long as she could, there was a little bit that she was unable to sing or play in her latter years. But she kept that promise the best she could each time she got up. She made a commitment to Yahweh. She chose a path, a fork, and she glorified Yahweh in that with her songs, her commitment. And so we count the cost. We choose the path to follow Yahshua. So what happens when we come to a fork in the road? What's the old saying that when you come to a fork in the road, take it? Well, when you come to the fork in the roads that we're talking about, count the cost. Choose the path to follow Yahshua for the future hope in obeying Yahweh's word. And then say, you can say as in Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve Yahweh. For those that have made that choice, for those that will now, today, and in the future, they can say, as for me and my house, we will serve Yahweh, to serve him for a promise of eternal life. So hallelujah and Yahweh bless.